parties. We're looking at redevelopment cost of 235 million. This is into the future now because we've not yet budgeted for because of the constraints that the National Fiscal is facing. Category 3 properties, we want to retain, upgrade, and turn around. We're budgeting 60 million then into the future once the economic conditions, the treasury situation improves. Looking at impairments, we anticipate our impairments for financial year 2022 to peak at 40% and then gradually decline over the period to about 32% by financial year 2022. We will use various activities to proactively manage, monitor CIFA's new investment. Budget outcomes. Looking on the cash front, CIFA Group is positive throughout the planning period. However, CIFA will be in a negative cash position when the funds like the EU, the SDIF, the TREP, and your TF are excluded. Cash in CIFA grows from 1.1 billion in financial year 2022 to 2 billion by financial year 2026, including the TREP programs. Cash in KCG doubles from 800 million to 3 billion by financial year 2026. This is driven by Spaza Shop, auto body repairs, and EU program. Looking at income, interest from lending year on year for, if you look at financial year 2022 compared to financial year 2021, it will grow our operations by 67%, mainly due to improvements in impairments and suspended interest in financial year 2022. Growth in average loan book from financial year 2022, driven by the tourism fund and the TREP programs. Also, the in TF allocations, but in real terms, they are declining because if you actually take into account the inflation. The loan book grows by 70% in the financial year 2022 due to catch up in the financial year 2022. The underspend of financial year 2021. Growth in programs, i.e. your tourism fund, BVP, tourism and rural focus programs initiatives also impact on the growth of our loan book. The average loan book balance will increase by 70% in financial year 2022 and 5% by financial year 2023. Operating expenses, year on year, would increase increase from financial year 2021 to financial year 2022 due to the KCG claims paid and movement in reserves of about 69 million. Increased consulting fees of 3.8 million due to the automation projects that we're going to be actually driving and the pending measure between SIRA and SIFA. 500,000 increase on special internal audit forensic projects, as well as additional depreciation in respect of additional budgeted CAPEX spend. Occupational and safety costs are expected to increase this year to around about 663 due to additional anticipated and continuous provision of safe working environment for our employees as a result, including our clients, as a result of the pandemic. Looking at investment property, expenses in financial year 2022 are significantly increased from financial year 2021 as critical repairs and maintenance on our category one properties have been budgeted for, this year being 40 million and the outer year 2023 being another 40 million. This share was approved by the Kula board. All refurbishments will be subject to the conditional building assessments, feasibility studies, and approved DOA metrics, board and ministerial approval as and when needed. Chair, I won't bore you with this one because this actually puts in a high in the way of what we call the sources of our fund. And really, our operating expenses, including the payroll over this period, the main driver in red is an increase in expected credit losses on loans and advances because of the challenges that our business has faced over this period. Most of the cost line items increases have been limited to inflation, except where specific projects have been identified and budgeted for. In financial year 2022, impairments will peak, as explained earlier in the slides, because of the challenges that emerge from in 2022 and the challenges that our businesses or clients are facing. Transfers and funding for this year, looking at the forecast, this is previous year, 2020, and the year before rather, for 2022, SB transfers received, we don't anticipate any. DSTB transfers, looking at receiving around 1.1 billion. COVID-19 transfers, nothing for this year. EU transfer received, nothing for this year. Blended finance transfer, nothing. And Department of Tourism, we anticipate to get, in fact, we've already received for the 180 million and should be getting more to actually fund the interdicted tourism fund. And then also we anticipate 252 million of MTF allocation. Then we will be borrowing from our facility from IDC and the year ending March this year, 280 million. And for 2022, we anticipate that we will draw down another 310 million to finance SMEs. The chair, disbursements now, the product type, wholesale lending. For this year, 2022, we anticipate that we'll disburse 128 million. And over the period, look at 799 million. Under wholesale micro, we anticipate 130 million. For direct lending, 178 million. SBIF, 312 million. Business viability program, 495 million. ERP, TF, and COVID-19, 624 million. With EU fund, with 85 million. Looking at the additional investments by micro intermediaries, this year we look at additional 130 million, as I explained in my earlier slides. KCG, 585 million. SME Cooler and Land Reform, another 30 million. And SME Hodisa, another 30 million, with a total of 2.7 billion disbursements, as explained. And that is a much more detailed breakdown. And looking over the period, at 10.6 billion disbursements. So I'm not really going to bore you with the statement of the comprehensive income, except to mention that the income will be sitting for this year at around 1 billion, and with expenses at 1.3 billion would result at a loss before tax of 295, and then we break even, I'll argue, 2023, and then we see a profit of 214 million in 2024 and 435 million by 2026. This is the statement of financial position, Chair, which I really won't bother for you about, is our balance sheet. And the key one, Chair, which should be the last one now for me, is the cash flow statement, which really indicates the cash flow from our operating activities. If you look at cash, you tell you we're going to be utilizing for operations is 522 million. Loans and advances awarded to customers, 1.4 billion, and the grant income, which is an inflow of 1.4 billion, resulting in a net cash flow, a negative cash flow of what we call net cash utilized operating activities of 463 million. And then cash from investing activities, purchase of PE outflow of 36 million, investment income of 75 million, acquisition investments of 8 million. Net cash generated from investing activities will be 47 million for this period. And then our cash flows from financing activities, which is the outflows, repayments to the lease liabilities of 11 million, capital funding received from shareholders of 436 million is an inflow, which gives us a net cash from financing activities of 425 million. And a net increase or decrease in cash and cash equivalents of 9 million. And cash and cash equivalents at the beginning of the year of 2 billion. And we have anticipate cash and cash equivalents at the end of year of 2.1 billion. And cash held on behalf of managed funds of 69. At the end of the period, we're looking at a 2 billion cash positive for the entity, mainly driven by the funds that we're holding for KCG. Remember, the loans that are provided by the banks are funded from the balance sheets of the banks, but as the insurer, we need to keep those reserves for the banks. But over the MTF period, we're looking at 5.1 billion or 5.2 billion, Chairperson. With that said, Chair, this is the end of the presentation from our side. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, let me hand back over to you, noting that we still have we don't have much time for us to conclude.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will now invite CEDA to take us through. Chairperson from CEDA, Mr. Ndlovu.
Good morning, Chairperson. Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, greetings to the Deputy Minister, the DG, and other colleagues from the Department, as well as the CIFA Chair and CEO and all other colleagues. Thanks for the invitation. We are pleased to brief the committee on the 2021-22 Annual Performance Plan and the 2020-2025 Strategic Plan. Chairperson and honorable members, I'm pleased to welcome Mr. Nkosinathi, the new acting CEO, seconded from CIFA, as mentioned earlier by the honorable minister. He has taken over the acting chief executive officer position that was vacated by Ms. Majola at the end of April 2021, as per the resolution of the board chair and members. The whole idea behind this appointment is so that she can assist the department with the process of merging the two entities and also, as the minister has stated earlier on, to kickstart the transitional arrangements. With him, Chair, we've got Ms. Majola, who has gone back to her position as the executive manager, EDD. We've got Mr. Mabani, CEDA acting CFO, Mr. Chafta, who's the CEDA acting executive STP, as well as Ms. Dube, the CEDA manager in the office of the CEO. Together, Chair, they will brief the committee on the 2021 annual performance plan and the 2025 strategic plan. Members will see that our plans do very much talk to the seamless integration that the minister referred to earlier on. The emphasis is still very much on business sustainability and business viability. And you will also see, members, that our key focus areas remain township and rural entrepreneurship, with specific targeting specifically the sectors that that will be highlighted by our acting CE. We also are still very much focused on strengthening the informal businesses and also the localization through targeted import replacement. We have complied with the SMART principles, Chair and members, and have engaged with the department and all the relevant stakeholders to ensure that what we are presenting, it is realistic and achievable. The CE will take you through our process and what we have agreed to set as our targets. Members will see that none of the targets that are presented that we had indicated in the past have increased by more than 7%. And that we have very much stayed very close to what we had been specifying and targeting for ourselves. With your permission, Chair, I will now hand over to Mr. Mbatha to take us through the plan. Thank you, Chair. Mr. Mbatha, over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for the warm welcome and greetings to the Honorable Chairperson of this committee and to the Minister and the Deputy Minister, the DG, the Chairs of both CEDA and CIFA, and fellow colleagues. As has been mentioned, my name is Koskona Mbatha. I've been appointed to act as the CEO of CEDA. It's been 3 days in the office, so I started on Monday, and I'm happy to take the committee members through, with your permission, through the presentation, with your permission, Chair. And if I may request that the sharing rights be given to Towazo Majola so that I'm able to take the committee through the presentation. Thank you.
Can you do the right thing so that they can present?
Let's give him a chance. He's only 3 days old.
King, can you do the transferring of co-sharing, please?
Yes, I'm scrolling. Yes, I'm
still waiting for through chair for the right to share.
Towazo, can you switch on your mic so that I can face you?
Okay, the sharing is still disabled on our side.
Towazo?
Towazo?
Towazo? Oh.
Okay, it's on now.
Yes, I've given you that.
Okay, my volume is on now.
So can hear you, and I've given you the right of co-hosting.
Okay, can you see the presentation?
Yes, you can see, Mr. Mbata, you may now proceed.
Thank you, Chair. That was a please put it on presentation mode. Apologies for that noise. Okay. So, Chair, we'll take you through our strategic plan for So that we are able to exactly explain what is it that we'll be doing to the committee over the next few years, but in particular, what is it that we are focusing and focusing to achieve in the current financial year, which is 2021-2022. And obviously, amongst that, we also talk about what is it that we'll be doing or trying to achieve within the next 5 years, and then the MTF, which is also 3 years, that is what we'll be dealing with today. So as we take you through the presentation, we'll take you through where our mandate comes from, but I would not be spending a lot of time on that change. But the important thing is that the outline covers everything that we need to cover as per this presentation. Again, our mandate is clear. What we are trying to do as per the constitution is to ensure that we fulfill every citizen's right to trade. As the constitution, by providing business support to different businesses that are either new businesses or existing businesses that we have within the country throughout our provincial networks. You can move on, Towazo. We have been disturbed. Can you move to the next one? We have been disturbed. All the policies and all the legislation that we comply with, but we definitely do have all the legislations. For the purpose of the summary of these slides, we just have some small glitch around the issues of the slides. We can go back also. Go back again. Yeah, I was on this slide. So sorry, Chair, we had some small glitches. So as I was saying, that it is then the job and the responsibility of CEDA to make sure that the entrepreneurs within this country, either new ones or existing ones, are being supported via various networks and platforms and via social networks that we have established to ensure that we are able to give assistance to as many South Africans as possible that want to be in business or that are in business but are looking to grow their business through various streams, should be your normal compliance issues, and also should it be your market expansion or getting or accessing various markets for those entities. So our role then just revolves around that, and as a task to do so, we'll continue to do so. Next.
Here's the next one.
No, move to the next one. Okay. We from as I said, Chair, our establishment obviously is via the Small Enterprise Act, and we are tasked to do certain things via the Act. And one of the few things I would like to highlight on this slide, I think I've talked about the point C, which is the development of support programs and reaching as many those of mute yourself, yeah. Mute yourself, this feedback, mute. Yeah. Apologies, Chair. My majority is trying to mute herself. Let me just assist.
The volume is off.
Thank you, Chair. I think we've sorted that. There was some feedback that was coming through. All I was saying, Chair, if I may proceed, is that I wanted to emphasize point C on this slide, and I think I've really talked about that generally in terms of how then how important it is for us then in terms of that design and implementation of the support programs for small businesses, how it's important for us as CEDA to play a very significant role to make sure that our programs talk to the needs of the entrepreneurs out there so that then we're able to together support, grow the entrepreneurs and make sure that the entrepreneurs are sustainable. And I want to, and that is that's point E on this slide. Obviously, the sustainability of entrepreneurs or SMMEs in this country is a key focus. And sustainability may not just mean that you are profitable as a business, but it may mean in a bigger context that you are able to withstand whatever challenges that may come through, be it reduced turnover, be it different challenges that comes with the market. But you are able as a business and you are cushioned because once you get to a point where you are sustainable, small changes or variances in your business operation should not be impacting you that much. Should be able to continue to exist given those. So our role is to make sure that through various kinds of training, through management training, through market access, and we are able to cushion and assist businesses to cushion them against any strong winds or negative impact that may come through and attack these businesses. So as you continue to see the way sustainability and growth of entrepreneurs comes up so many times in this presentation, and it's mainly because there is a focus on us making sure that you know, from the sales point of view, we open markets for small businesses. They're able to increase their turnover such a way that, you know, when you look at their margin of safety, you know, you can see the gap becoming even much more bigger and ensuring that, you know, they remain within the viable or the viability space. I will move on to the next slide, Chair. This slide just focuses, I won't spend too much time, focuses on our strategic focus, the mission, the vision, and the values. Again, you see, Chair, in under our mission that the word business growth and sustainability comes up again, because this is the core of what we need to do as CEDA in making sure that the businesses that we fund remain sustainable over a longer period, such a way that we're able to keep the jobs that are created by those businesses, and that also we are at the point where we move our people from just being business owners to wealth creators. And that becomes very important as our role continues to evolve here for us as the CEDA. And from the vision, the vision has been changed, and we're saying that, you know, our vision is to make a difference in SMEs' lives every day. That calls for a certain commitment, Chairperson, because our people out there are really struggling to get certain service delivery. And from a CEDA point of view, we're saying through our network, we'll make sure that we are visible and also we are accessible as an entity to everyone that needs to access our services. And also that once people get into our various access points, they are then able to get the assistance that they're looking to they're looking for from CEDA. And that becomes important as we continue to move towards merging these two entities to make sure that there's proper flow between what we do here at as the CEO of CIFA alluded in his presentation, that there's proper flow between what is done and the DG as well did mention the collaboration and working together quite a lot of times, so that we make sure whatever we do here at CEDA fits into CIFA and also is aligned to what the department is doing. So if we prepare, for example, Chair, a business plan for clients, those business plans that we prepare here as part of our services must be must find its way to various institutions, but mainly to CIFA to make sure that those are funded. But it is then the job of CEDA to make sure that those business plans are packaged properly in a manner that when they get to CIFA, you know, then they will be able to receive funding, provided, you know, the viability concepts have been tested very well, even prior to the business plans getting to CIFA. That becomes very critical, and I will show the alignment in the services or the priorities that we'll be focusing on this year as I continue, and you'll see that we very much aligned with what is done by CIFA and also what is proposed by the department. This slide, Chair, is mainly, I thought it would be good for us to show, I won't go into details, but it's good for us to show what is it that we do, because the way business or the way support supported SMEs, so many supported in market access, so many. So it, the word support comes out a lot in the document. And someone then asks to say, what is it that you do in providing the support that you say you are doing? And this diagram depicts exactly the kind of services that we offer to our clients. You know, if I may, for example, the clients may come and they just want to have a conversation because they've got an idea. They want to have a conversation with us to say, I've got this idea. How can I be assisted? You know, we cater for those clients under the ideation. And then maybe that idea becomes a solid idea and then it needs business planning. So we then provide that to our clients. And you can see under the talk, you see that there is quite a lot of things that we do, the startup advice, you know, the idea assessment, you know, the entrepreneurship assessment. We offer that to our clients at that stage. And Chair, I won't go into detail, but under startup, you see, we do business registrations. You know, if someone has started a business, do business, and it flows accordingly. And sometimes you find that we're approached by informal businesses that they want to formalize their businesses. So then in that space, we're able to assist them with different things, market opportunities, you know, business planning, assist them with coaching, you know, and access to finance. I think I've spoken about access to finance, which is one of the big things where people say we do get business plans, but we are not being funded. How do you make sure that the quality of that work is so good that a funding then becomes it's not even an issue of a discussion, you know, there's a proper flow between all the entities. And then under growth, you see it's again market access to markets. We're providing support to manufacturing businesses, you know, and so forth. Then also, so the first one was just under our EDD, and then the second one, this slide focuses mainly on the incubation. It follows the same model, and this is the place, Chair, where we're able to reach as many SMMEs as possible via the partnership or the partnership that we're creating with the various private incubators within the industry, and also our very own incubators, where we're able then to support these businesses. And as we continue to develop this ecosystem, you'll see later that we'll be able to support as many as possible businesses as well. So can continue, Dawaza. Chair, I think this slide, the DG spoke about it, the CEO of CIFA spoke about it, the impact of COVID, you know, on our clients. And I think if we are realistic and honest, I don't think there's ever there was a time for a need for SMME support, it is now. Our businesses out there are suffering. Some are closing their doors. Some have lost market. They need alternative markets. And this is the space then that we should occupy confidently and boldly, as seed that say, where are those businesses? How can we assist? How can we provide alternative markets for those businesses? And within, even within our portfolio, as the SBD, you know, look at the clients that are within the CIFA portfolio, you know, that are struggling from a market point of view, that needs different accreditations and all the stuff. We need to start at home, you know, to make sure that the money that has been spent by the government in supporting businesses and doesn't go to waste through provision of alternatives for these businesses, as I said, via the market access support, you know, via the accreditations that they may need to get into other markets that these businesses may need. So that collaboration, I'm glad to say, Chair, that has started. There has been businesses that have been referred here to CIDA by CIFA within the portfolio of DSBT to say, CIDA, come on board, help these businesses to have access to markets. So the pandemic really did a lot of damage to our SMMEs. And it is up to us to make sure that we're able to repair and help those businesses. I mean, as the CEO of CIFA was saying, the big thing is that the SMEs never got a break from the economic downturn of the previous financial year, you know, to electricity problems that were caused by load shedding, where most of our businesses were suffering from production point of view, and as a result, that turnovers were reducing. Immediately after that, and the technical recession that we saw, immediately after that, then COVID started. And as a result, then that has just, the impact of all those has been very huge on the SMEs. And we really need to go out there and support them through our various programs as we will continue to showcase here, Chair. I won't go through this. I think I've covered it in detail. We can move on to the next one. And I've covered this in detail. We can move to the next one. This slide, Chair, really talks to our alignment with the DSBD and what we need to do over the next 5 years. And our alignment, you will see that from a CIDA point of view, we are now focused on making sure that the programs also of the department follow through, and the CEDA then contributes towards the program of the department. You see that the focus will be on the township and rural entrepreneurship, where we'll be able to do the program as details. I think there's the CIFA CEO went through them a lot, but as listed here, we'll also be supporting these entrepreneurs through pre-funding support and also through post funding support that they may need. So as the value chain was demonstrated, where as the CEO of CIFA was saying, it starts from CEDA, where we package these applications, then we let them flow to CIFA, and they get the funding. Then after that, we pick them up again together now with the CIFA to make sure that the right mentorship is provided, the right technical support is provided to these entrepreneurs, because the most important thing is that wherever it's been funded, we need to see them growing through scale-up projects. If we fund a bakery today via CIFA for 350,000, what do you do then as CEDA after that to make sure that that person, that kind of bakery, grows into a bigger establishment? So, and I must say, Chair, we're not going to grow all of them, you know, but there will be those few that have the potential, that will be scaled up, that are able then to supply other people within the area. So we'll focus on those things, and where there's skills, there is proper management, proper controls and everything, and then we'll be able to grow a few and certain of those ones, so that then you can see the progress of these institutions as we continue to move along. So those, that is under A, and then providing services to informal businesses, you know, to make sure that they're strengthened, the issue of localization and import replacement. Also, we'll be playing a role there in assisting businesses within the manufacturing space to make sure that they are ready for funding, and also they are ready for the market, that their products are tested, you know, in such a way that they're able to supply the corporates. You know, we've been doing quite a lot of that work in-house, and Tevin is the one that has been leading that, where we make sure that the businesses that need support, that need their products tested, you know, are assisted here in-house to make sure that they comply with all the standards of the corporate companies. So that will also continue to be our role here, and we'll make sure that we are able to account, you know, to the portfolio committee regarding the businesses that we've helped in these areas of business. The business viability program, we've got clients that we've assisted, as been explained, that would participate in that program. And I think, Chair, overall, what we would like to see happening is the support to black-owned enterprises. We are estimating 200,000 in this support, Chair. I must say that the chunk or the big number of it comes from the business awareness, you know, a program that we have, where we feel and believe that there's a lot of our people and our potential entrepreneurs out there who still do not know what to do and how to go about in just getting assistance. And we'll be running those via different seminars, you know, Zoom, different platforms, you know, to make sure that we cater for everyone, and those who can access. There's always ways of saying the, you know, few numbers are gathering here and few numbers are gathering there, but we are able to access all the entrepreneurs that we need to access. So we will see, as we break it down, to see that actually a big number there says we need to reach out to as many entrepreneurs or potential entrepreneurs as possible to provide them with guidance and to provide them with knowledge on the programs that we are running together with CIFA and the department. And as I said, the youth owns 100,000 over 5 years, and people with disabilities, we're targeting that at least 7% of what we do must be at that level, or must be for people with disabilities. I've talked about Chair, the alignment between us and DSBT. I won't repeat, so that's why we're moving to the next slide. So this slide, Chair, talks about just us and our outcomes and how they are linked to output. I've spoken a lot about access to markets. If you see on the third column, access to markets in terms of local markets, how do we facilitate access for entrepreneurs to be able to put their services on the shelf of corporates and to put their services on their products in different or various markets within, including government, within South Africa, including international markets and import replacement. And there, we are targeting to do about 53,150 SMEs over the next 5 years. And as I said, you see that where the most of these comes from. And outcome number two as well talks to our ecosystem and the development and our role with our private partners. I'll unpack that again and how those numbers will be achieved. The next outcome, which is about promoting entrepreneurship in rural towns and cooperatives and creating jobs as well. Chair, you see the output there in terms of what we want to do, improve formal business support, you know, and facilitating entrepreneurship awareness. The fourth one is more internally based in terms of our customer satisfaction, our stakeholder satisfaction, increased innovation within the organization, and obviously improve staff recognition to make sure that our people continue to deliver on the services that we need them to deliver on. So the next slide, Chair, you'll see that then they unpack each and every outcome and how then we're going to achieve each and every outcome in the next 5 years, then again in the next 3 years, which is MTF, and then how we're going to do that quarterly. So what I've said above will then begin to be unpacked here on this slide. Again, Chair, to be clear, we are saying that under outcome one, the facilitation of local markets, the intention is that over 5 years, we do 12,750 SMEs that will make sure that they get access to the local markets. And international market, we are aiming that over 5 years, 7,500 SMEs will be in this space. You can move on to the next. We then, Chair, I would like to explain this one even much more because this outcome too is linked to our ecosystem and how then as an organization we are planning to make sure that we reach out to as many SMEs as possible through our our incubator or incubation model that will make sure that we're able to link and sign agreements with different incubators. In South Africa, there's about 224 private incubators. And we currently from our side, as see that we have 101 in our space. And we believe that through, and we're also saying that within the next 5 years, we'll increase our own by 174. So between the existing private sector, our existing 101, the new 174, obviously with the budget being provided to do all that work, we'll then be able to reach as many people. Because 224 private sector incubators are willing to come on board and work with us, whereby it's not even an issue of us transferring or sharing resources or paying them, an issue of us supporting the SMEs within these centers that they have. So we'll be able to then achieve that number in 5 years through the incubators and through the private private-public partnerships that we'll be forming with the private incubators within the space. So as we believe that this is the model that will help us to reach as more of our people as possible within the space and provide the service and the support to as many people as possible within this space. Chair, another measure that I want to highlight here is us monitoring to make sure that whoever assisted and whoever has been funded, their turnover increases over the next 5 years, you know, at least, you know, on average per annum by 5%. And we're targeting that within our portfolio, if we're targeting as many entities, then we should be able to reach that 12,000 entities. It's a tough ask, you know, given the current environment. It's a tough ask, but also we've seen some entities doing well during the pandemic. So even within our portfolio, we've witnessed some of the entities growing. So we believe that we'll be able to achieve that over the next 5 years. We can continue to also. Chair, the outcome three, which is, again, this awareness and promoting the entrepreneurship in rural and township areas, you see where the majority of the numbers then come from that I was making up that other 200 and something number, where we're saying over 5 years, through the platform that we have, and also hopefully with the vaccination and everything in the next year or so, we'll then be able to resume work properly where we have proper platforms and proper face-to-face engagement. But for now, we'll use the digital platform that we have to reach to as many people as possible, where we're just creating awareness on the products that are offered by both or by the department via the two entities, which is CEDA and CIFA. And that 122,000 people in South Africa is not a big number if we're looking at the whole country, that we are going to try to reach so many people or entrepreneurs within this country. And it may look as a big number, but we believe that there's a huge gap and people are still not aware of what the department through its entities offer. And we'll run those programs. They are not difficult programs. It's creating awareness and that we should be able to achieve without any difficulties. That's the one that I wanted to highlight on this slide, Chairperson. Outcome four is, as I said, is more internet-driven, which first point is us encouraging our people within the company to come up with innovative ideas of how to assist the clients differently and how to achieve the numbers that we want to achieve. And we are saying that at least whatever the employees within CEDA come up with, 35% of that must have been implemented by year five. And that will help us to move and to assist our entrepreneurs. The other point I wanted to highlight is that at least we need to get to 85% customer satisfaction. You know, our customers need to be satisfied with our work. We're currently sitting at 80 currently. As we continue to do these surveys, we'll be able to increase that number and make sure that our customers are happy with the quality and also happy with accessibility and the quality of service that they receive from us. And obviously, the stakeholder satisfaction as well becomes very important. The one thing that we need to work on and that we need to try to even reduce, Chairperson, is the percentage of vacancy rate. I still think that 10% is still high. We need to try and reduce that to even much more lower to make sure that we have enough soldiers to make sure that the services are available to our people out there. We should be able to, every office must have sufficient and every province must have sufficient number of business advisors that will help us to assist our people so that our people don't wait long so that they get proper service. Chair, I won't go much into detail on the key risks. I think I will take them as read, but highlighting maybe one or two, and we think this clearly with outcomes under the growth of SMMEs and access to markets, both local and international outcome, we've listed key risks. And one of them that I would like just to highlight is the limited access to CEDA services by SMME and co-ops. We had the committee the last time where the committee members were saying our services are not accessible. We're also not in the right places. In our Q4 presentation and maybe Q4 or Q1 going forward, we'll then need to show to the committee where we are, where our services can be accessed, you know, and the collocations that we have. Would emphasize on those ones. But the big thing is how do we make sure that the branding of those collocations and all those access points is clear so that then the people are aware of where we are while making sure that the issue of brand awareness as well through our marketing team is driven very intensively and very purposefully so that then people know who we are and what we stand for. And then we make sure that once we've done that, then the quality of our work then improves. So that's the one that I wanted to just highlight on that slide, Chairperson. And again, I will skip the next slide because it's still the risk. So from an APP point of view, the next few slides just deal with the issues of the APP. Slide 23 going forward deals with just the issues of the of 24 or 25 rather, Chair, deals with the issues of the APP and how then we've broken down these into in the next 3 years and what we want to achieve and then quarterly. Again, I will do highlights, but trying to be as much detail as possible so that the committee members are able to follow. So here, Chair, we're just saying that how then have we devised programs that will assist us to support these townships, rural, informal businesses, and we break down per each program how then we're going to go about in doing so. So those we can continue to the details of program one. So what we are saying here, Chairperson, is that, and as I said, it will sound like a repeat, but this is a breakdown of the same programs, the awareness, how then we're going to do the numbers that we're going to achieve over the next few years. You can see that we're targeting 37,000 SMMEs in this current financial year, 40,000, 45,000 by 2023-2024. So that is just the awareness sessions that I've explained that in detail, what we'll be doing the Chairperson. And then the next one will just be on, and as I said, the way support will come through. We are now focusing on the programs that are being driven by the department, the number of cluster shops that we'll be able to support. Our intention is to support 9,276 this year. And by support, I mean the various programs that we listed in the beginning, you know, from, you know, assisting them with support in terms of how they run their businesses efficiently, how they do their costings, you know, how, you know, they're able to obtain products at cheaper prices via the wholesaler programs that we're running with the department and so forth, you know, and also how do we then, you know, in our efforts in doing that, how do we grow a few cluster shops into general dealers and so forth. Those are the things that we will be focusing on here. And the next one is the number of personal care businesses supported. We're aiming for 2,000, support 2,000 this year and 2,500 by 2023-24. The Shisanyamas, we are aiming to do 1,500 this year. And the support that we're providing here could also be pre-business support, where we're making them and preparing them to be ready for funding via CIFA. In as much as we know that not all of them would want money, but majority of these require funding, and we'll make sure that they're able to report, say, out of the Shisanyama, out of the personal care, so many were referred to CIFA, so many, then from CIFA they will say, so many then received funding from that, and then we pick them up after the funding has been received to make sure that they are supported to become successful businesses. And that seamless reporting will then be seen between the two agencies in our reporting even going forward. So it's the same issue with the fruit and vegetable vendors that we'll be supporting to make sure that those businesses in the informal space are able to get the support. We're targeting 4,738 this year and moving to 8.7 by year three. The next slide. So the next slide, Chair, as they're trying to sort it out, it talks to the penalty details as well, where we're aiming to do 4,738 this year and 8,057 by year three. And the small bakeries as well, 2,000 and 2.5. The clothing, textile, aiming 2,000 this year, at 2.5 in year in the next. By year three. We can move to the next slide. We entered the previous programs, as you see the numbers were flowing, and the numbers do seem to be large, but through the networks that we have, through the provincial offices that we have, and the number of employees that CEDA has, we should be an entity that is able to reach out to as many And you'll see even on the Ketu budget that there's a huge amount that's allocated to employees. And with that number of employees that we have, we should be able to reach out to as many SMEs, and we should not limit ourselves. We should stretch our people and stretch ourselves to make sure that we're able to get to these SMEs. And our role, we can't say there are no SMEs out there, because our role is also to make sure that we create those. You know, through the awareness program, we make sure that the pipeline of entrepreneurs that flows through to our offices through the awareness program and what they need to do, because there are a lot of people that want to get into the space of business, but they don't know how. We create the pipeline through the awareness program, as we could see the numbers were high. If we do that well, then the numbers then flow into the programs, and we're able to assist our people through the programs. Program two, Chair, is just more on how do we deal with the issues of market access, either local or international. How do we deal with the listing of our SMEs and the wholesalers and retail shops? We've been doing that work, and we continue to do it and measure it accordingly. The numbers are self-explanatory, but we just want to make sure that the number of SMEs that are listed in local markets grow, and we achieve 3,500 by year three from now. I just wanted to highlight that one. The rest, Chair, they're clear. As I said, the targets may seem steep, but we need to get to as many entrepreneurs as possible, and we're geared for that. Those who can move to the next. This is the one, Chair, that I spoke in detail about the ecosystem. So our outcome about competitive and international markets comes back at different outputs, you know, in terms of facilitated business development through the first one, through ecosystem support. That talks to the number of businesses that we've supported through and via our ecosystem. As I said, we've got our own incubators, about 101. We'll grow those to with new ones, about 174 going forward. And we've got 224 partners that are waiting for us to partner with them so that we can reach to as many SMEs as possible within this country. And the DG was emphasizing that this is one measure that the department will be reporting on this year. And we need to make sure that we are able to do the work so that when it comes to the portfolio committee, we are able to account around that. And obviously, the number of stakeholders participating in the ecosystem, I've spoken about that, it is achieving 75% of that. And the number of SMEs with turnovers increased, I've spoken about that, Chair. This is a breakdown of how you're going to achieve it within the MTEF period. Next slide. Chair, these are the quarterly targets of what we said we're going to do above, under outcome still on the local products and international markets. We are saying this is how we're going to achieve the 2,500 over the next four quarters. So you can see that we're aiming to do 625 in quarter one, 938 in quarter two, and so forth. And we're aiming to achieve those numbers, and with what we list in the wholesalers and retailers, 300 in the first quarter, 600 and 1,000 in the next quarter. So this slide breaks down what we need to achieve in year one or in this current financial year per quarter. And we should be able to achieve this given the nature that we have within the entity. Next slide. Chair, again, this is still a quarterly breakdown of the international and local market in terms of our outcome and the SMEs that are assisted through the ecosystem still comes back. So again, we're saying how do you achieve the target that we set of 70,000 through the network of partners that we have, and we've broken down in the manner that has been presented. And obviously, percentage participation, we measure it once, which is 75%. And the SMEs with turnover has increased through our efforts via the ecosystem and our incubators. We're aiming that the 2,083 would be achieved, broken down in quarters. We can move on. The third program is more internal, more administration. We can move on. So this is more about us making sure that there is clear leadership, that we reflect on our people, that our people are willing to work for the country, in doing the work of the SMMEs through our leadership, the innovative ideas, through performance and excellence, in excelling in their work, our number of staff getting three, which is 3.6, one and above in terms of their scorecard. We need to improve that and make sure that our people perform. Percentage staff satisfaction, we need to grow that from the 60% to 75%, 80%, and so forth. So that then we make sure that our people are happy, but also they are able to do the work that they're supposed to work. And obviously, the customer satisfaction output indicator is critical, because those are people that we live for. Those are the people that we're employed to serve, and we need to make sure that at all times, the services that we provide to them are proper and that they're of high quality. So we need to measure that now and again so that we're able to improve as an entity. I've spoken about the vacancy rate. As I said, I still think 10% is high. We'll try to bring it even lower, even though the target is 10%. You can move on to us. This, Chair, is just a quick breakdown of the same deliverables or outcomes that I've talked about at the top. I won't go much into details around it. Can move. I would then ask, I would probably do a high level here and ask our CFO, acting CFO, to come in and just give the committee a high level input just on the numbers and how the numbers flow. But what we get, obviously, from a CEDA point of view, we obtain allocation or budget from the department, and we expected to use that and expected to utilize all of it in making sure that we provide proper services to our customers through paying our employees to do the work, through also making sure that the service providers that are within our network are able to be paid, and also they provide high quality work. So I'll Chair, with your permission, I will invite our acting CFO to come on board and present this section. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. CFO, over to you.
Good day, honorable members, chairs, executive of Department of Small Business, executive of CIFA, CEDA, and all attendees. My name again is Elias Mavani. I'm the acting chief financial officer of CEDA. I present the finances. On the slide, we indicate that CEDA applies the zero-based budgeting approach, which ensures that all value-added activities are included in the budget. In terms of the expenditure estimate, CEDA's allocation was cut by an amount of 284 million over the medium-term expenditure period of 3 years. With this money, the cut, we spread it into a period of 3 years. The huge impact is that it will affect the service delivery. In terms of the vote 36 under the Department of Small Business, CEDA's allocated budget for the financial year 2021-22 is an amount of 867 million. However, the total budget of CEDA, including the provincial and local government funding that we get, also including the little interest that we get from the bank, it amounts to 884.8 million. It is allocated as follows in terms of the expenditure. The biggest percentage, which is 44%, amounting to 390 million, goes to our personnel cost. The next high expenditure is the office space and the equipment rental, like the photocopiers. It amounts to 78.8 million, which is 9% of our budget. CEDA has many branches across the country. The allocation to the SMME projects and support is an amount of 328 million, which amounts to 36% of our budget. Other small include the administration expenditures, which include stationery, IT consumables, subscriptions, and insurance. it amounts to 22 million. It's about 3% of our budget. Furthermore, the last 3% is the capital expenditure. In terms of the budget split for the 21-22 between the direct service delivery and the support functions, we are sitting at 77.2% going to the service delivery and 22.8% going to the support function. The breakdown of the total budget, we allocate an amount of 452 million to the enterprise development. This amount includes the salaries of the staff responsible or working on the enterprise development, whereas an amount of 232 million is allocated to the CETA technology program, and the administrative support is allocated an amount of 200 million. Comparing the budget of the 2020-21 into the current one of 21-22, there's a decline of 1.44%. On the next slide, we show the comparatives. There is a slight increase on CETA's baseline. It moved from 566 million to 606 million. Also, there's an increase on CETA technology program baseline that is allocated from the Department of Small Business. It moved from 146 million to 156.5. Whereas the other funding, like CETA-specific project and capacity building program and external funding, it keeps on declining. Our capital expenditure budget is sitting at 22.4 million. The breakdown is on the next slide and it will be shown. And our expenditure and revenue are balancing as per the National Treasury requirement. We have the revenue of 884 million and then the expenditures of the same amount. On the next slide, we show our asset and liabilities. The largest asset of CETA is cash and cash equivalent, while the trade and other payables make up a sizable portion of the liabilities. These liabilities mainly consist of the money that we receive in advance from the stakeholders and partners to be utilized for the specific project, and also the accruals of supplier payments that goes through after the 30 days. We are showing a balance sheet estimating to be 135 million on the total asset, which agrees to the total equity and the liabilities of the same amount being 135 million. The next slide is our cash flow projections. The highlight on the cash flow projection is that we estimate that we will end the financial year 21-22 with cash of 91 million. We're also showing the cash flow from investing activities amounting to 22.4 million, which is the budget for the capital expenditure, which is on the next slide. Then on this next slide, we break down the 22.4 million. CETA branches need to be, our biggest expenditure goes to computer equipment, and the reason is that CETA branches need to be equipped to service large volumes of clients and also to reach the clients in outlying areas. And also ICT is being capacitated to address the digital challenges and the ICT performance. So furthermore, an amount of 1.5 billion will be spent on buildings, non-residentials, and the transport equipment, which includes the vehicles, and another 1.5 will be spent on furniture and office equipment. That is the end of the financial highlights. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. That's the end of presentation from our side. Let's see that. Thank you.
Thank you so much, honorable members. Here we are. According to the program, I will hear from your good selves. We're supposed to go for lunch between 12 and 12:30. Can we move forward so that we finish this program rather than breaking for 30 minutes for lunch?
Great, Chair.
Yes.
Let's move forward, Chair.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. I will now invite comments, recommendations, deliberations, and way forward from honorable members. King, you will assist me by identifying hands from honorable members. Honorable members, please, the three presentations have been presented, even the political overview by the honorable minister. I would like you to really indicate which program or which deliberation, if the question relates to the Department of Small Business, let's indicate. If it relates to CIFA, let's indicate. If it relates to CIDA, so that they're able to follow properly and they will have to respond at the end of the day. Can we start?
Chair, Honorable Hendricks.
Honorable Hendricks. Yes. Next one.
But only him so far.
Okay. Oh, which means the presentation was so good.
I don't know, maybe they are still warming up. Okay. Honorable Mtenjane.
Honorable Mtenjane. Okay.
I think they are still warming up, Chair.
Okay, you may start, Honorable Hendricks, while we're waiting for others.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I was very impressed that CIDA has embraced zero-based budgeting. And at a meeting yesterday, there was a lot of support for that. That means, Honorable Chair, that we need to look at the programs that they are funding for. And in terms of those programs, we obviously need staff from CIDA to enable applicants to qualify for that funding. So all those programs that we don't have funding for, we obviously, in terms of zero-based budgeting, those people must be redeployed somewhere else. We can't have people preparing applicants for programs that has no funding. Having said that, I want to use this opportunity to thank the Deputy Minister for bringing Parliament to Mitchell's Plain and to the constituency office. And as a result of that meeting, we now have a very good working relationship with CIDA, and we are assisting applicants to make their applications directly to CIDA, and we're facilitating that particular process. The minister, we also introduced two people with disabilities to the deputy minister, and that captured her imagination, and I think she's going to take that forward and get CIDA to prepare them to qualify for the necessary funding. We've heard the CEO of CIDA being very bullish about reaching the rural communities. Last week, I was in Mapami Forest to introduce the schemes that is available, and I largely used the notes of the Deputy Minister, which he shared with me, telling the royal family in the village, the fishermen in the village, the woman that is cooking open food in the village, and they are looking forward to CIDA coming to Mapami village that's near Umtata. It has an ocean economy. It has a large forest. It is a rural area that can be a mini smart city. And CIDA can help getting and finding the applicants for many of the schemes that they have for rural areas. So it is not all thunder, but also lightning, in that we can really do service delivery there. And if CEDA goes to Mapami village, and I say there's a forest there as well, they'll be taking parliament to the people. I met a fisherman. In fact, they caught some crayfish for me in the morning, 10 live crayfish within 1 hour. And there are another 11 kinds of fish in that ocean, but they need a boat. So I wrote to the deputy minister about their needs, and they've already formed the fishermen cooperative. The women there are very very grateful for one of the schemes, that is the open food pot scheme, I don't know what you call the real name. And they want to know, can CEDA also assist them with agricultural opportunities? And this they said at a meeting I attended with the royal family until late in the night. So there is a sense of excitement. I also mentioned to the community that we've appointed a director general, so they're the first rural community that knows there's a director general. So I hope that, this time, the director general, in his first 100 days in that position, will consider assisting the Mapami rural village, because there's a sense of excitement now, and they are looking forward to becoming a, what I call, a smart village. We are obviously very concerned that CEFA, because of lack of funding, also have to downscale their activities. The way I see it is all that CEFA has to do is to look after the credit book, get the money. And there you only need a few individuals to do that. And then obviously they need to have people that will look at the applications that CEDA has recommended. So there's also a lot of, when you go to this, I don't know if they're going to go for zero-based budgeting, but you can't have a entity with too much fat, and it will be wasteful expenditure. So I just hope the Director General, who's responsible for those two entities, applies his mind properly and makes sure that we don't pay for fat. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Hendricks. And thanks for the efforts you are doing. I'm proud of you. I think we can follow suit, all of us, because we can't keep really on complaining without contributing as members of Parliament. Thank you, Waleni. Honorable Ntenjana, you're the next.
Oh, well, thank you very much once more, Chairperson, and the colleagues, the Deputy Minister, and the Minister, if she has come back already. Chairperson, indeed, it's true. This was a very, very well presented the presentation. Mine, I think it's simple today. There's no clarity seeking question per se, because this was very, very well presented. But as a committee, of course, much as you have already said, Chairperson, you just walk on my way, because that's exactly what I wanted to say. To say, yes, as a committee, we are not necessarily here only to complain or to be crybabies and all those things. We are here as a committee, of course, to work with the department, or work together, work hand in hand, and advise each other, advise the department as to what is it that we think as a committee they must do. Because remember, we are the people also who are almost every time in touch with the reality. So the presentation itself, we have both, I mean, from the department and its own and the two entities, it was well presented. seemingly also with some few deadlines and all those things, if they say 5 years, this and that. Although it's not necessarily, of course, 100%, but as I say, for us now as a committee, maybe now is to give them a benefit of doubt, of course. And then because we all know that this department is expected to create jobs and to assist our people who are on the ground. Now, I've heard on the side of CEDA as they present their TREP, that Township Rural Entrepreneur Program. Yes, indeed, it's true. If they can rely on that, or if they can push more on that township issue in the rural area, because that is precisely where it's lacking, and it's a reality, it's true. It's not that maybe we are also one-sided as a committee, but the reality is that our people on the ground, especially on the rural areas and the townships, they were the ones who were very much sidelined by the system itself. If you might remember, we are from the apartheid government, that is 20-something years ago. But the scars are still there. If you check the suffering which was caused by the system, it's still there. So for this department and this government is to make sure that they interfere there, they go deeper in those rural areas and avail themselves to those people. And also make sure that they ease their system, their criteria of doing the applications. Because one of other things that we come across, Chairperson, as we go around in the villages, of course, people don't know about these programs of CEDA, CIFA, and the like. But even those who know, they tell you straight that, but it doesn't help. We tried to apply, we did applications, and then they show you the proof to say, we did this, but the department did not take us serious. In other words, they've rejected our application. So then in return, then now the department doesn't now help the very same people that they say they are helping. Because if you help people, you can't help only people from urban areas. You also need to go down deep into the rural areas and help. But we understand and we hear today that indeed they do have those problems. So we will await and see. But maybe one other thing, Chairperson, as I close, maybe also as a committee, we will see it as we go for oversight, because I think the issue of oversight is also the one that will then tell us the reality that indeed is this thing going to happen or not. So, but yeah, for now, we are giving them a benefit of doubt, Chairperson. We are listening to them. It's a good presentation, all of them, the department and its entities, and then we are await for the reality to happen, because indeed something must be done. Our people are suffering on the ground. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. Tim, do you have any other one?
Yes, Chair, I've got Honorable Mathulelwa, Honorable Kruger, and Honorable Jacobs.
Honorable Mathulelwa. The platform is yours, Honorable Mathulelwa.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Mangilalele zonke i-presentations ezenziwe. Mina nje okwami ukuthi nje ngifuna ukuveza ukuthi we have got a problem with this department. As a department, we are having a problem. Remember last time when we were doing e-oversight virtually, kwatholakala ukuthi une ghost, i-ghost sike isipoki, se fund ehambile kwathiwa ibinikezwe lalokhuza liya small business yase-Mount Freya in the Eastern Cape. Where ekhonfesile umnikazi wayo ukuthi there is no money that was given to that business. So my concern is, as we were raising yesterday, we said it's better this department go back to trade and industry. Not that we are undermining ourselves or whoever, because we've got a problem. We have been raising the issue. It's a pity that figure one that the political overview of Puma or minister. We have got the issue. In reality, everyone knows that it's an issue as a minister or way to own us. Department, let's see on. So, they are going to upgrade Ilokuza into a licensing, a small business. But before you upgrade, did the one that was put on table, was overseas in Abantu, because we've been raising issues ever since 2012. There was a problem with USIDA, which is part of our department. USIDA, who promised people to give people Ilokuza a skill and the certificates. But up until to date, akukaze kube khona nto enyakaza. Kwathiwa this deputy minister wa promise ukuthi no, we're going to follow up. But today we are getting new presentations, of which is not wrong, but it seems as if we are moving on just like that, without resolving the issues. As it says, the CBS Gulenda we see who manage either a small business. In the Sabayo Kakulu, Uguti, maybe Masele Tendula, Abawa Sifa, Mshambi Bazos, Elwood, okay. Do they go into to make sure okanye they are going to do away with Ilokuza ama funds nanga iyabekwa imali la iyachaza ukuthi okay ibillions ezithile nezithile nezithile ezizokwazi ukuthi zisebenze for abantu bakuthi. How many businesses ezifana nale econfese in our presence, all of us sikhona la, and even i-investigation nokuyilandelela mase siyilandela kwinto yokuthi sifumanise ukuthi hayibo. What happened? Because in the Eastern Cape is a nearer area with where we have our constituencies. Masila ndilela ngempela le company azange yathola mix. Ezimali zizonikwa abantu laba abadingayo kwi rural areas and in townships. Also nalaba abangazange banikwa bazo appearisha as if banikwa. How are we going? How is the CIFA or CIDA going to eliminate those ill discipline? Because you can't give it to us a report which no this and this and this. When we are doing a virtual or a physical oversight, we found out that no, this department are just on record, but they didn't receive any money. Sisizame njenge department, because i-concern yethu hayi ngokuthi sizondobani ulokhuza u-deputy minister izolo uvele wangichaphisa kakhulu mekethi they've got i-capacity. What capacity? Because we are not producing, and the money that was 90-something% was taken back. It didn't go to those people who are in need of help here to yale small business. But yena uzosela ukuthi we have got capacity. No, it's not good. And before small business is mele, it's a phansi kwe trade and industries. If bekungenzeki izinto ezinjengalezi, that is why concern yethu it's more sibona kufanele ukuthi iphinde back ihlangane. So that it was a good service. Because now we see that, Usifa nayo uya present ukuthi sokwenza kanje kanje kanje. But we are finding ourselves kwinto ye oversight ukuthi kukhona nabantu aba appearisha as if they received, but they didn't receive anything. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mathulelwa. I believe the department and CIFA and SEDA, as well as and other honorable members, are noting. The next speaker is Honorable Kruger. Honorable Kruger, over to you.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the very informative presentations. Madam Chair, just before I start with my questions, I think we must just, for procedures, to get the procedures right, and I understand that everybody got the right to speak in its own mother tongue, but we also have the right to hear what this person or this honorable member had to say. So if there's no people that can translate, speakers, then we need to have some sort of arrangement so that we can all understand the question and, of course, learn out of the process. But that's just my opinion. First of all, I just want to ask a few questions of clarity. The first question I want to ask is to the department about the ease of doing business part of it. In the beginning in 2014, we all talked about red tape, but then we extend the definition of red tape to ease of doing business, because ease of doing business is much broader for small businesses to operate in than just red tape. Red tape is just a portion of the problems that small businesses have in South Africa to be successful. Now I hear that they change it back to red tape, which, as I say, per definition, is not the only hurdles for small business. So I'd just like to know the rationale around it. I had a discussion with the DG, and apparently it's about trademarks, and people are claiming the term ease of doing business for themselves so that nobody else can claim it. And I think we must fight that, because I think ease of doing business is for everybody to use. That's the first question to Department of Small Business. Then CIFA, when they show us their financials, I see for the next coming year, there will be a loss of 200 million or something. I just want to know if the previous year was also a loss, because I can't recall and I can't find the previous financial statements. If they can just tell us how big was the loss the previous financial year and the financial year before that, so that we can just have an indication, is this just all of a sudden thing that happened because of COVID to CIFA, or is it a management problem? Then the last is, of course, SEDA. Madam Chair, SEDA, the expenses, the SMME project form only 36% of the budget of SEDA. You know, and personal cost is 44%. So it seems like SEDA is not worried too much about small businesses creating jobs. It seems like they create their jobs themselves in the department, because, you know, to spend more on your personal, on your staff members than to spend on their core business, I think we need to ask a question and put a question mark behind that. Then my last remark is, here in Malahleni in Mpumalanga, I sent a young lady to SEDA to help her with a business plan for her to buy a big guest house, and it could help develop and so on. And Sida never came back to her. And she was forced to go to one of the shops, you know, charging money for a business plan. And I can send you this business plan. It was a four-page profile of a business which they copy and paste from the internet, and they charge her 860 rand. So if this happened to one young person, to how many persons does it happen in Emalahleni and all over South Africa, where SIDA is not interested in helping our youth and people looking for help at their doorstep and looking for a business plan? Because, you know, a business plan, not every person can think up a business plan. So I just want to hear from the CEO, how are we going to address this whole matter? And then, of course, the footprint of SIDA, I still think it's a big problem. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kruger.
Okay, can I proceed?
Yes, proceed, Honorable Jacob.
Thank you, Chair, and again, greetings to my colleagues and also the Minister, the DM, and the team. Very comprehensive. I share the sentiments that if we have this plan and if we implement 50% of this plan, I think we would be in good stead. And I want to also record my appreciation that we have a plan, we have a department, and we have a team that is knowing what we need to be done. And now our challenge is to ensure that they do the work and we help them, keep them accountable to this. So I think I just want to commend the minister and the team. I will study both the department and the agencies in detail and also give detailed feedback. But just from my preliminary responses, I think the first priority is recovering from COVID. And I think the context is there that our people suffered under COVID. We've lost lives and we've lost livelihoods. And I think small business has been the worst affected. And so it can't be business as usual. And I'm appealing to all the staff in the and the officials in the department that we need to be a government that's responsive and caring to our communities and people. And I think that for me the key thing. The township and the rural program is going to be the flagship program. And I think what we need now is the capacity to implement. And our officials must be able to, when they go to a rural area, they don't come in as a tourist where they just make presentation. There's 100 people in Friedendal that came for the information. They make the presentation and they leave. And then after the fact that not one of those communities have benefited from any products or services or any finance. I've seen that in the past, and I'm going to ensure that we, whoever comes into our areas, that there is a improved turnaround, that we really genuinely no, just speak to our people, but actually go and sit with them and help them. And the performance indicator must be how many youth, how many women, how many disabled have been assisted in our different areas, especially our rural and township areas. So that program is something that I personally will follow and something that I will personally look at. I think the other issue that I also want to commend that the department is the broad-based Black Economic Empowerment Codes. You know, here in the Western Cape and Cape Town, Black people are suffering. They're not implementing these codes. And I think it's important that the department must help here. I've been approached in the rural hinterland where there was a broad-based Black Economic Empowerment Scheme, and now they're trying to reverse that transformation. I've also been told that Black owner drivers in Bokomo and in Tiger Brands that used to have their own trucks are now slowly being moved out and becoming truck drivers again.
So black ownership, black participation in our economy is a farce and a non-existent. So I think we want to ask the department to come and help here. I don't want to be called, or I don't want to be the person calling for a consumer boycott on Vocomo and Tiger brand. But if they're not coming to the party, if they not, if they don't see the economic imperative of ensuring that all our people get opportunities, and then we might reconsider. So I think I'm going to give the specific details to the department so that we can see how genuine, meaningful public participation can happen to ensure that the small person, the informal person, also gets the value chain. I think I've lamented quite hard that the whole agro process here in the Cape, almost 80% the value chain of our food is still largely in the hands of white ownership. I don't have anything against white people, but I do have problems where you don't have opportunities, and people are still gatekeeped out of economic opportunities, but we must just be consumers. So this year is going to be a key year for us to ensure that small business, especially black small business, get opportunities both in the private sector and the public sector. Then I think the one other key interest for me is the access to finance, and I'm glad that CIFA has got a broad, a strategic approach to it, and I think I commend the leadership for the visionary approach. I think we must accept that the commercial banks have failed us. They failed us in COVID, and they will fail us as black people, because small businesses are not getting the support that we need from our commercial banks. We need intermediary finance, and I like the models that that CIFA is talking about, that we're looking at microfinancing, helping those small people that just need a little push up. We don't need grants or handouts anymore. And I think for us, especially in the Western Cape, we are keen to look at how the modalities of helping the informal sector, our traders, to access that finance, because I think that's the biggest hindrance that we have. And then I think lastly, I think there was a comment about not all disabled people are entrepreneurs. I think I detect a bit of discrimination, and I think we must be understanding of why we're saying youth, women, and disabled. These targets are not there for paper exercises. These targets are there to deal with redress. And if our officials can't find disabled people, if they can't find women, if they can't find township or youth, then it's going to be a problem. And I think we're going to, as this department, monitor that very clearly. I think, Chair, with those oversight and criticism, I also want to say a word of appreciation that this department, you're on a plane to continue doing great work. We will be there to support you. So thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Jacob. Thanks to all honorable members. I will now invite the department to respond. DG, you will advise me with your entities there. Who should start? Or we would like to be the last one. We start with CEDA, with CIFA, CEDA, and then the department, and then the DM. In that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. From CIFA's side, I picked up, unless if I missed something, I think there are questions that are relevant for us, or comments were raised by Honorable Mathulelwa, Honorable Kruger, and Honorable Jacobs. If I've missed any, you'll direct us, Honorable Chair, accordingly. The question that was raised by Honorable Mathulelwa, just to start with that one, I will allow I'll give an opportunity to the CEO, Mr. Machamba, to give a detailed response in this platform on that question, particularly the allegation on Mount Frere. The issue of performance I'd leave to the DG to deal with. We will account for that, which is in fact directed to us. As far as the issue of loss making is concerned, as per the comments, perhaps the first thing that I should say before I should get to the point raised by Honorable Kruger is to duly apologize to Honorable Matulelo. Yes, we know the question was raised in the previous meeting. The right thing would have been for us to have given a written response by now. I realize that there hasn't been a written response that has been forwarded to her. The CEO will give a response in this platform, and I'll also make sure that that is followed up by a written response, as it's supposed to be the case. The point on loss making, the CFO of CIFA, Merali Bipi, will deal with it to give you the detail of the performance of CIFA as you requested previously and what explains the current position. Honorable Jacobs, we note the words of commendation as others have done. We really appreciate the pat on the back that honorable members are giving us. We get encouraged when you do that. What I can say is that we are committed, as we said before, to make sure that we do stretch the targets. The issue about money reaching the previously disadvantaged is an issue that we take to heart very seriously, both within CIFA and the investee companies where we have a direct role. We are very conscious of the fact that we are always going to be challenged by those that are not willing or that don't buy into the vision of the country, in as far as empowerment is concerned, as is the case with the AfriForum case, by the way. As you know, CIFA is party to the legal action that has been taken by AfriForum together with the Department of Tourism for the Tourism Equity Fund. We know we are very conscious that we are always have these detractors along the way. We are not about to relent. We are confident that we will overcome that point, that challenge again, as government has overcome others before, and we'll be able to roll out the program in time for us to commit the money that has been allocated to the program, believing that it will result in significant impact, although it may not change the landscape in terms of balance of equity or ownership or participation in the tourism industry. We're quite confident that we will make a dent that is significant. What is encouraging, I should comment, Honorable Chair, without wasting too much time, is that the irony is that in the tourism sector itself, quite a number of progressive people have come out to support the program and have, in fact, even indicated possibilities of collaborating to make sure that we're able to, in fact, empower more people and open up the space for Black people and women and people with disabilities and youth to come into the space. So we're very confident that we will move forward. We will update the committee in the future regarding that space. There are also developments in other areas where we have investee companies that we've been engaging on to stress their commitment on Black empowerment to make sure that we come out very strongly in those areas, because as people that have invested in those entities, we have a responsibility that we champion the same mandate. So the transformation program is on course, Chairperson. As far as the issue of oversight is concerned, I think all that one can humbly say is that we are prepared to subject ourselves to oversight, to be monitored on our performance, be it with disability, be it with youth, be it with investment in townships, understanding that we have the first obligation to deliver and that we also have an equal responsibility to call upon yourselves to assist us and open up those areas where it's possible for us to assist our people who look for support. So I'll hand over, Chair, with those viewers to the Chairperson and the CEO to respond to the ghost SGS, Honorable Matrela calls it, ghost funding in Mount Frey, and that will be followed, that response will be followed by Mayor Ali Vipul deal with the issue of loss making. Thank you.
Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, Chairs. Honorable Matulelo, we did investigate this matter after it was raised in our previous interaction with the committee. And we established that the third applicant, yes, applied for the COVID relief fund. She was approved. And all the applicants were given a 2 month period to claim or draw down the funds. But this particular client failed to draw down the money within that 2 month period. And by the time she came after July 2020, the scheme was actually closed, not only for her, but for all South Africans. And the funds that were actually budgeted for were allocated. But what we'll do, as the chair has said, we will, through the department, provide the report, because we did immediately conduct an investigation in this regard. And also touching on the issue, Chair, raised by Honorable Jacobs around the disabled people. We're not, Honorable Member, discriminating against the disabled people, but we're saying that the allocation of the budget is not small per se. We try to correlate the budget to be proportional to the size of the population of the disabled people in the country. But from our side, as CIFA going forward, we are going this year to mainstream this area of support by employing a program manager to focus specifically on dealing with providing access to finance for people living with disabilities. And as part of the new intermediaries that we want to introduce as one of our route to access the market, we want one of them to really focus on also providing funding to people living with disabilities. So we will certainly be mainstreaming them as CIFA, the area of people living with disabilities. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Over to you, Chairperson of CIDA. Are you done?
Chair, there's a question that was raised by Honorable Kruger on loss making. May I humbly request that the CFO of CIFA respond to that?
Okay. Over to you, CFO. Over to you.
CEO, can you please handle it if the CFO is not in a position to respond immediately?
Is this question, Chairperson, from the Honorable Kruger around, is it about the loss-making by CIFA or?
Yes, it is. It's about loss-making, the projection of a loss for the immediate loss for year 22. And the previous performance, that was especially.
Okay. The organization also, because of the nature of the business that we run, if we have loans that do not perform and we impair these loans, they impact directly on the profitability of the company. And we've got the old the book that we're trying to deal with, and some of the write-offs that are going to flow through our finances are as a result of the old book. And in the short term, yes, you will see, number one, a very high cost-to-income ratio and also the losses that were reflected. But as we now improve on the quality of the loan book, growing the revenues and the revenue streams for CIFA, we will be able actually to improve, number one, our cost income ratio. And you saw that in the following year, we are actually going to be looking at about 80 million, which is more like your break-even point. And the year after that, we start seeing profitability. So we're moving from a low base of improving from the old book and also eradicating all these other bad loans and growing the book with good quality loans and growing revenue streams through the partnerships that we're forming as an entity. So those losses are basically as a result of historical operating activities of the entity, if I may say. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Are you done, Sifa? That was the last question.
Yes, we are, Chairperson.
Thank you. Sida, can you respond?
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson and members, for the questions. I have my team ready to provide more details where I have not. Responding to the Honourable Hendricks Chair on the issue of our zero-based budgeting, thanks for the positive feedback, Honourable Hendricks. We did went through a thorough process of looking at all the expenses and justifying each and building the budget around what is needed for the upcoming period. So in your words, we are feeling bullish that with our budget and what we have set to achieve, we will be able to achieve. But thank you for highlighting that. Honorable Mtenjwane, thanks, Honorable Mtenjwane, for the positive feedback. Yes, rural and township are indeed our core focus. We have increased awareness using both traditional and digital platforms, with road shows as well, and working with local municipalities to ensure that people who still don't know about us and what we do, as well as our sister company and the department, do know what we do. So as members would know, this is something that's always coming through, that people don't know about us, or people are saying that we are not accessible. So it's something that we have put effort in place to ensure that we address. We have also refined our marketing strategy, and I think the acting CE, as well as his team, they will just expand on some of the things that we've done to ensure that in the rural and in the townships, we are accessible and people know about the kind of help that we are doing. And we are planning to do more in the upcoming year. On the issue of Honorable Kruger, thanks, Honorable Kruger, for the question on our spending. We take much cognizance of our spending and know how badly spending money on ourselves will be viewed. And thus, we make sure when we approve our budget, we ensure much is spent on core. I want to highlight that if you look at our presentation, you will see that the budget split for 2021 and 2022 is split between the split between direct service delivery and support function is actually 77.2%. On direct service delivery, and only 22.8% on support. I will get the CFO to break it down further for you to just show that that's something that we are always, have in our heads that we need to address. On the issue of not responding to clients, our humble apologies to the client. I will ask the CE as well as his team to speak to those allegations and interventions in place to minimize these incidents, because it's not the first incident that we've heard of. And we have taken a zero tolerance stance as a board, and when such matters happens, what we want full details so that consequences, there must be some consequences on the ones who are still not addressing our SMMEs the way we have agreed they should be addressed. I will also ask the CE when he responds to some of these comments and questions, that he and his team also respond to the Honorable Matulelwa with regards to services not given to the right people, or claims that says that we have given services, but those people have not received the service that we claim have been granted. It's not necessarily on the Mount Frey, but I want to give comfort to other members to say that this is something that we hear of from time to time, and we have put interventions in place to ensure that there is the zero occurrences of those things. Chair, with your permission, I will just ask Mr. Mbata to just add on the comments that I've just made. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Mbata, can you respond, please?
Thank you, Chair. I think the CEDA Chairperson has covered most of the items. What I would like to just add on is just a few things from our side. The first one is from Honorable Hendricks. I think it will be an interesting project, the village projects and the co-ops that needs to be packaged properly. You said, I think, Mabami.
I think we, and obviously the agricultural opportunities there, I think it will be in our interest to get our people to assist and make sure that those are properly packaged and will follow. I was talking to my executive team here that we need to follow up on this and make sure that that work is done. And not because it's coming from Honorable Hendricks, but such projects should be key projects that we look for and also that we look after. You know, so that is just a commentary. I think on the issue of from Honorable Matulelwa, I think the I was attending the portfolio committee last time. I think the issue was raised. I think we just need to look deep into it. There is a process that is happening because we can't really divorce ourselves that much from SEDA eThekwini matters, right? Because they were still SEDA, even though they were SEDA eThekwini with a different reporting responsibility. However, we can't divorce ourselves that much. We will look into this matter and also see how, because the process that is currently underway in terms of how even the staff members that were working there at SEDA eThekwini, how can they be looked after and make sure that they continue, or in that office, we continue to provide the services. But the affected clients or entrepreneurs, I think we need to deal with that matter, Chair, and make sure that if there are no records and of former, we need to see how we then do retrain and do that, because unfortunately, it's not possible to issue a certificate on training orders issued by SEDA eThekwini is non-existent anymore, but we need to relook into that and see, and I mean, it may not even be relevant certificate, but what relevant certificate can be offered to the very same people, so that then training rather can be offered to the very same people, so that they are then, they get a certificate and they become relevant at this point in time. So one of the projects that we would take in the CEO's office and see through the executive responsible and the role, so that it is then executed, and so that then I'm not saying the next report, but we'll make sure that we make some way in correcting that. On the, I think the other question was, CIFA responded to it, was the CIFA question. On Honorable Kruger, I think that two-pager or three-pager business plan, I'm sure it didn't result in any funding, but I'm hoping that the opportunity for the guest house is still there. And we have asked the board that to look into the, we need to follow up, get the details, the numbers, so that then we're able to make sure that the business plan is done properly. It's one of those unfortunate events and shouldn't happen. I know we've been experiencing quite a few issues over the past financial year in terms of our service provision and how slow it was. The committee members were aware and were made aware in the last meeting, but those are behind us, and we are, and our people should be working full steam and making sure that we provide the service. So that is one message that we would take forward. And then lastly, on the issue of the expenses, the delivery model of SEDA is simple. It's got the branches. In the branches, there's business advisors. Those business advisors are people that look after our SMMEs at large. Those are the people that the SMMEs see. Those are the people that provide advice to SMMEs. Those are the people that do the diagnostic assessment on SMMEs' businesses. So they travel and go to SMMEs and they do that work. And then only when there's technical work that in the service provider, then that work is then recommended. So the first portion is directly linked to the service that we offer to our clients at SEDA. So for us to be able then to reach as many SMMEs as possible in this country, through our co-locations, through everything, we need to have that first line. We need to have people that will be able to carry that work and do that work. Hence, I was saying, even the staff vacancy of 10%, if that involves business advisors, then it's a lot. Because business advisors, we should not have vacancies around that, so that we make sure that the service delivery is on time and is of high quality. So both, and then the issues of the SME project involves what we, the money that we, for services that incubators do on our behalf, reaching to SMEs involves, so that's the incubation technical program. We also there, we also have the technical technological transfer program, assistance program, where we're able to buy equipment for SMEs up to 100,000, manufacturing SMEs up to 100,000 in the grant format. And then, you know, then also there sits what we pay service providers. So both the first line, which is the personal cost, and the soft and the SME project, they both related, hence the 77%, 77.2%, they related to us providing a service to SMEs. And though in much of those jobs are in our provinces, where service delivery really takes place within the entity. Chair, I think that would be it from my side. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, Dr. Ndlovu. Are you done?
No, thank you, Chair. I would like the CFO to just speak on the issue of our budget split. CFO, just to give comfort to members that we're not spending money on wages, but we are looking at service corps. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair, if I may, I think that part, Chair, through you, Chair, the Chair of CEDA, is what we're just covering now, to say the split between the personal cost and our business model and the SME project. So as I was saying, the people that we are paying under personal cost are people that are business advisors that are directly linked in the provinces, that are directly linked to service delivery, providing training, providing advice, providing diagnostic tools to our clients. So that 44% is mainly linked to our province and our network and people that are in our co-locations and all that, that is linked to it. So it's not people in the head office that are forming majority of that, is our guys in the provinces. So that's where the split is. And then the second 328,341 million, which is 36%, is the money that we're dealing with from directly from the technological funds, so we buy equipment from the incubators, and also supporting businesses or technical work, including your ISO, your SAPS, all that work comes in there. So both those two form the 77.2%, which we then saying is client and service delivery. And we cannot do without the first one, which is personal cost, because we need those people to reach out to as many. And as we continue, as we become bullish now, we even need that even more so that we can achieve and reach out more to our people. So that's how the budgets are split. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, CE. Chairperson, I think we have covered all the questions then that the members put forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I'll now invite the DG.
Thank you, Chair. I think there were a few comments. Maybe I'll, the two from Honourable Hendricks and from Honourable Mtenjan, I think it's more about emphasizing the point that the rural areas and the township areas must also be supported. I think it's also covered, it was also the same issue that was covered by Honourable Faiz or Honourable Jacobs, sorry, that we need to really pay a particular attention to the rural and township areas. And I think our guidance to CEDA, for example, that they must only establish incubators in those townships and rural areas. I think that's a clear directive. It's also covered on the NTSF. It shows our appreciation of the fact that we need to address these imbalances of the past. So we are handling that, but I'm sure the DM in her closing remarks, because she's really driving this area of work. We were in Lusigisigi last week with the DM, so we are really targeting these disadvantaged areas. I think she will expand on that. I'm not going to expand on it. And then there was a comment from Honorable Mathulelo on the two issues, the licensing. I think I did in our presentation explain that the Businesses Act was only transferred to us towards the end of last year, It was transferred on the 30th of October. So we have started consultations, especially with the key stakeholders, because this licensing issue is implemented at local government level. They are the ones who are responsible for this activity. Us as government is more on the legislation part, but we need to make sure that there is consistency that is applied throughout the country. But also, the relevance of the licensing is, I think, it's something that cannot be debated. We do need to license, otherwise everything will just happen haphazardly all over the country, and we won't have control of what is happening. So we have started those consultations. I indicated that we started reviewing this act because it was just transferred to us. Previously, it was administered by DTIC. So we are pushing on those aspects. Then there was also a comment on the 90% of budget that went back. We are not aware of the 90%. As a department, we are not aware of that, as well as I think the AG as well is not aware, because they would have given us a serious disclaimer if budget is not spent on SMMEs and corporations. And then there was a question from Honorable Kruger on ease of doing business. Here the issue is the use of these terminologies. Ease of doing business, previously we used to just focus on red tape reduction as a department, and then National Treasury was charged with the responsibility of driving ease of doing business across the country, and we're using those World Bank ratings, and then there was an agreement between Treasury and an entity that was responsible for providing these ratings throughout the world, and that relationship was terminated. But even in that relationship, there were some questions that were asked, in fact, not just by South Africa, but by all other countries, because the methodology that they're utilizing, they will select certain people and ask them their opinions. So if you have not been asked, you will never accommodate your opinion. So there were questions around the credibility of the ratings that were done by the entities around the methodology in particular. So since that relationship was terminated, we had to revert back to using the terminology that we've been using. But I agree with Honorable Kruger that ease of doing business is much broader than red tape. So it's something that we as a department, in the meantime, until we get guidance from Treasury on the way forward on using ease of doing business, we have to focus on doing red tape, which is what is under our control, but accommodate the other issues. For example, one of the issues that has been addressed is the issue of common business plan template. We've driven that process. There is a common business plan template which is utilized by the entities. We had IDC on board, we had NEF on board, so that it becomes easier for SMMEs. Also, the intervention on the SMME SA database, where we are now ensuring that an entity, once they can register on our SMME SA database, they can also register on the CIPC, they can register on the centralized supplier database on the same platform, rather than them having to go to different platforms or even to visit different government departments. So it's part of the work that we are consolidating, ensuring that we make it easier for our SMMEs to access support or even to be formalized. Honorable Jacobs also made some comments and urged us to make sure that we become a more responsive government, and I think it's something that we are working on continuously as a portfolio. I think CIFA did indicate that since we started implementing especially the TREP interventions, we went back to the drawing board after extensive engagement using the DDM model, where we visited district municipalities, we received feedback from SMMEs, the potential beneficiaries, we reviewed even the thresholds of our intervention. So we'll try to always be responsive, but also critically make sure that those people that we engage with, we don't just share information and leave them in the same situation. We need to make sure that we follow up and make sure that support is provided. We are pushing on that front. We have regular engagements with both CIDA and CIFA to make sure that we process the applications and people are not left hanging for too long. So it's something that we'll always continuously improve on, and we acknowledge that we need to pull up our socks and make sure that we deal with this comprehensively. We are, Honorable Chair, dealing, engaging with national, not national treasurer, DTIC, especially the BBBE Commission. We do have a relationship with them, but we are strengthening this. In fact, our colleagues led by ADDG, Vincent, they will be engaging with them on all other things that we want to engage with them on, because we believe that we play a critical role in ensuring that there is proper transformation that takes place. We don't want these big corporates to just tick the boxes. Tiger Brands, we're having an engagement with them, Honorable Chair. They've approached us, and we are dealing with them, especially when it comes to supplier development, even on cooperatives, they want to supply them with products. So this issue will come up, we'll raise it, the issue of the owner-driver, when we engage with them. We hope to have an agreement with them soon, so that we tackle all these issues that are of concern to the owner members. Thank you, Chair. I think those are the issues that I was supposed to respond to. Thank you.
Thank you, DG. Thanks for the response. I would like now to invite the GM to have a bite, just to summarize. DM.
Thank you, Chair. Instruction well taken. I think the summary has been done very well by all the chairs, including the DG, to really not leave matters hanging. But the only thing I would want to say is to request that when our leaders are engaging in the oversight, these matters that affect the service delivery by the small business development are also matters that belong to other departments. This means if the local municipality is not able to join the party by making the environment to be conducive for small businesses, especially informal and the hawkers as well. The issue of not having a trading license is very critical, because most of our people did not get the resilience fund or other funds related to that because they were not compliant. And it has now become our priority to try and negotiate, convince our counterparts on other departments that the battlefield for small business is in the trading space in the local municipalities. And if we also do not involve at a district development level other departments, we might find that our work will not be successful. One being the fact that if there's no water, if there's no road in that particular village, including the potholes, our businesses really, really suffer. And it is on this vein that while I appreciate all what we have presented to you from the level of the political champion, Mama Kumbudzo Ntshavheni, we also have today to say we are calling upon all other like-minded non-governmental organizations, whether it's agencies that they stand on their own, because we will use our funds to establish a tree where all the other branches will hang around and ensure that tree becomes greener and greener. I thank the Portfolio Committee for giving us such a long time today, so that we don't stop halfway in actually giving a detail. We really appreciate, because not unless you give us a platform then we can be able to account back to you. Honorable Hendricks, I'll invite you. Can we go to Fred and I? So that you can see. There's nothing that I'm claiming we're doing there. But I happen to know that it's plus minus 5 hours to Flatendal from the city. So that we can be able to interpret better how our communities are flung out of where there's life. Sis Babalwa, I live very close to Alfred Nzo. And I think your matters in the main, I think it's your constituency. I would like to visit this business. I would like also you, Sis Baban, to organize the small businesses so that we can understand each other properly when we are on the ground with you as a representative and myself as the one who is supposed to give service delivery. I'm happy that when we were confronting Sunrise in Lusikisiki on the issues of N2 highway, N2 longest bridges and the highest bridge, about which percentage has gone to small businesses. And I had asked the DG to be physically there, because when people work out very far from Pretoria, they think they can exploit our people. And we are out there to find you, whether you are in the Northern Cape or in Ferdinand or wherever. We will get you there to ensure that you comply with the laws of this country. With this brief, I also appreciate that my leader, the minister, was here to take upon herself her responsibility and give us a go ahead again. And we appreciate that. You will always find us on the field. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DM. Thanks for the response. Thanks to everyone. Thanks, honorable members. This is a journey. We need to travel together. I'm happy, too, about the zero budget. I'm still inviting honorable members that in our constituency, let's try to play our role. Ours should not to come and criticize, but also to be part and parcel of our society, because this is a portfolio committee. We are working as a collective. Thanks to those who have already started. The issue of the response to Honorable Babalwa needs to be sent to the department, and the department will send it to the portfolio committee. Then the portfolio committee will refer it to the relevant honorable member. I was just trying to correct that will operate. I'm pleased that incubators are going to be expanded all over so that we centralize this program. And also the issue of visibility. But where I'm not sure, it's not for the response now, DM and DG, is the issue of the machine, automatic machine, which will have to assist. I would like us to look thoroughly on that one, because as the DM has just indicated that we're living mostly in rural, most rural areas. Issues of technology is still a problem. But let's try our best, DM, to make sure that we liaise with the municipalities through the DDM, the District Development Model, is the one who's going to assist us. It's true, if we can't unlock the issue of licenses, these programs will be there on paper. But on the ground, we're not going to get anything. We need to deal with these issues of red tape, because really our people, so it, to be able to fight with poverty and to create jobs, we need to make sure that all those logistics are being handled. And I'm happy about the common business template, which is going to be used, because another thorny issues, the issue of business plan, is the issue of profiles. And I'm requesting or appealing to the DM and the DG to make sure that our leaders in those agencies make sure that there is dust on the ground. Because really, our people cannot go to those offices, but awareness must be done. We need to do awareness on the ground and assist those people, because those people are so poor in such a way that they can't even have money to travel to those offices. But all in all, it was a good presentation, a good plan. We'll have to follow it up. And CIFA, I think you are also concerned about the turnaround times, which are very, very slow. So, but we are happy about the way you are hands-on, and we are pleased about the way you are reporting, that you are really honest with us where there are stumbling blocks. You really reflect to us. And then on the issue of people with disabilities, we need to take it serious. We need to make sure that they are part and parcel of us, because really the statement of saying that not all of them can be business people, but they can be beneficiaries of these programs. So I believe the Honorable Jacobs has outlined it clearly. I'm just emphasizing it so that in future we must be careful on the issue of discrimination. But all in all, we are happy about the plans. We wish you well. We'll work hand in glove with the department, and also congratulate the CEO who has been forwarded to CIFA. I forgot to acknowledge him after the minister has highlighted that, but after the DG has indicated and also the reasons why, we believe it will have positive impact, since the issue of merging is our interest as the portfolio committee. So you are warmly welcome, Bata. We believe you will try your best to make sure that we achieve our dreams as the portfolio committee as well as the department. Thank you so much, all of you. It has been a long day, but you are alert and vibrant. Thank you, DM, with your team. Thank you, honorable members. Thank you, our officials. We have come to the end of our meeting.
Long live the chair.
Thank you, my long son. Day. Thank you, DM.
Thank you so much, Chair.
Thank you, thank you.
Still, I'm so much to be
from still in one hand.
Thanks, Chair. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.